You're welcome, Mr. Fololo. Good morning, everybody else from the media and from the public. I just thought that before we start off our meeting, which we only have one item on the agenda, morning, Mr. Steyn, we should just deal with an item related to, unless we want us to deal with it maybe after the session, the item on the application for a study tour, perhaps we deal with it just shortly after the, are we fine? Or should we just dispense off with it now?
Morning, Chair. I'm sorry I'm late again. I also just wanted to ask the reason why I'm late. I was on the phone with the people in the Northern Cape. There's a huge fire for a week now almost that they can't stop. It's now burned 70 hectares of land, felt more than 50 farms. And the province did assist apparently yesterday, but they had to leave again. Because they said the hours that they were allocated to work on fires have already lapsed or something. And I'm just off the phone with them, and they said the wind is picking up. They're not winning this thing. And I said I will come and ask the DG just to see, because they're asking for National Department to see if they can't assist them in the Northern Cape. So maybe if the DG just wanted to find out from the Northern Cape disaster what is happening, Chief. On that side, because they're not winning that battle, and they're worried about stopping this, especially in the wind. So I would be happy if we discuss our study tour now, and maybe just give the DG some time to be on the SMS or whatever he wants to do with the department. And then she also apologizing for being late. I just want to know, because on our program was we're going to deal with CASP and all those things. Are we not going to handle that at all this year? I'm just concerned because the information that I asked for in the previous meeting, I never received it. And I just wanted to see if we are still going to get documents from the department on CASP, Litsima, and the other questions that we asked last time.
The reason why we are not tabling it now, that report, it is because it has since been tabled to our committee. And perhaps what we need to do is to go back to that report and then see if our concerns have since been addressed. Very briefly, this application is set for 26th of January to the 9th of February. How many days would that give? 26th to the 9th of February. Leaving 26th, coming back on the 9th. The aim is to cover two. As you go to Chile, you usually have to go via Brazil. So the motivation is to cover the two countries. That's what we did even last time. Mr.
Steyn? Chair, I'm happy to support that. I think, you know, we must not try every time, but because it doesn't look like our applications are looking at favorably. But if we can just get information as soon as possible if it's either rejected or accepted so that we can make plans for next year.
Let's deal with this thing after we are done with the department. I'm convinced. So that we are a lot more relaxed. Is that fine? Okay, thanks. We only have one apology from Ingos Sebekulu. Is attending a workshop of Amakos in KZM. That's the only apology that we have. In the absence of any other thing else, we shall then hand over to the department. We're dealing here with the first and second quarter reports.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, honorable members, colleagues, the media. Today we've come to present our quarter one and quarter two report. Maybe by way of apologies, I'd like to apologize on behalf of Dr. Morisani, who couldn't make it today. We've received reports that there's a bereavement at home, and also on behalf of the CFO, who also wasn't present last week, as he was in hospital, so now he's recovering at home. Maybe before I get into the actual report itself, you would recall that a few weeks ago we dealt with the annual report. And out of the comments of the Auditor General, there were some worrying factors that came out of that. We then went back to the department to see how we can address those. Fortunately, we had our quarterly review meeting, I think it was 3 weeks ago, where these matters were discussed. What we agreed on is that the weakness in the department is around planning. It's also around monitoring and evaluating progress as you move along the year. And also there is a challenge with respect to reporting, you know. And those weaknesses were discussed thoroughly in that meeting. And then we decided on some interventions that would help us overcome this challenge. One of which was that at the executive level within the department, what we are going to do now, we've already started with that, we are going to have two meetings of EXCO in the department, one per month. One of those meetings would look at the performance progress, you know, so that we monitor progress. The other one will be the usual policy meeting at DEXCO. The other intervention that we are going to introduce is that we are going to liaise closely with the internal audit committee Thursday. I'll be meeting with the chairperson of the internal audit committee to find out what is it or how is the committee going to help us achieve these things to ensure that there's monitoring of progress and performance. If you recall, the report of the Auditor General said that on financial performance, we're not that bad, but on the actual performance, the report doesn't indicate, you know, a major successes. You will see that this kind of an observation from the Auditor General again persists in this report, but we are going to deal with it as we move forward. The presentation will cover the normal stuff, the vision and strategic goals of the department, the overview, the performance by program, the financial statements, the actual spending per program, the actual spending per economic classification and conclusion. Mr. Fenter, who's with us here, will deal with the financial aspects which are normally dealt with by the CFO. Regarding which, the vision and strategic goals of the department, the vision is that we want to achieve in the long term a leading, dynamic, united and prosperous and people-centered sector. We have to push our energy so that we work toward that. The strategic goals, of which we have six, where various programs contribute towards. The first one is increased profitable production of food, fiber, and timber products by all categories of producers, subsistence, smallholder, and commercial. The sustained management of natural resources, effective national regulatory services and risk management systems, a transformed and united sector, increased contribution of the sector to economic growth and development, the last one being effective and sufficient progress. This presentation will focus attention on the departmental achievements made during the mid-term periods, as you would know. We contribute to three of the 12 presidential outcomes to achieve related outputs. The first one being that of being outcome four, which mainly deals with economic development and employment. Outcome seven, where we are very active in partnership with rural development and other departments, is the one that relates to the vibrant, equitable, and sustainable rural communities contributing towards food security for all. This covers the most part of the minister's performance agreement. And then there's outcomes 10, which relates to the protection and enhancement of the our environmental assets. That is where our fisheries as well as the forestry branch are most active. But there are aspects of the agricultural branches that also contribute towards that, issues relating to land care and so on and so on. The planning was guided by government's key priorities and the high-level plans that include the new growth path, the industrial policy action plan, the comprehensive rural development program, and the integrated growth and development plan that the department has developed. We identified the following five areas of strategic priorities for the financial year: employment creation, improving food security, improving income and conditions of farm workers, foresters, and fishers, enhancing exports by facilitating market access for agriculture, forestry, and fisheries products, and also ensuring the sustainable use of natural resources. The Program 1, which is administration, is mainly the support functions of the department, which comprises of corporate services, the office of the chief financial officer, the branch known as policy planning, monitoring, and evaluation, which needs to coordinate all the issues that I was talking about, which are a challenge within the department. And there is Mr. Hall here who leads that branch. Then there is the stakeholder relations, communication, and legal services. I think I need to also draw the attention of the committee that there is a process where we are going to, we're not going to do away with these functions, but we are going to abolish the post of deputy director general that is responsible for this area, and then move the stakeholder relations and communications functions to the policy planning M&E branch, but give that branch a new name. Legal services will then go into corporate services. Getting into program one, you see that the first column are the strategic objectives that the program contributes to what. They are listed there. The first one is strategic objective number three, which is about providing effective audit, investigative, legal, HR, and financial risk management. The indicator that goes with that, got a number of indicators. There's one indicator that links to that, is the percentage reduction in the vacancy rate. And as you know, that we are struggling in that area. Our target is 11%. You'd recall that at the beginning of the, or at the end of the last financial year, the actual was 13.5 or something like that. At this point, we are at 13%. Well, the challenge is the process, but I don't think that is a valid enough excuse. We need to find a way of ensuring that, you know, this days would deal with this effectively. As you would know, that a high vacancy rate means that you are hampered in some way in delivering services. But what I also need to indicate here is that we are good if compared with other departments, because the national average is at around, I think it's about 19% vacancy rate, whilst we are at 13%. But anyway, the target for the public service says that within something like 2 years, it needs to be at a percentage that is less than 10%. It can't go down to zero, because there's the attrition, there's the, what do you call it, the turnover rate. You know, people pass away, they retire, they resign, and so on and so on, and they get transferred. So if your vacancy rate is closer to the that kind of rate, the turnover rate, then it means that you're doing well. The other indicator there is the knowledge and information management system approved and implemented for this financial year, is that the implementation of phase one needs to happen, review and implement phase one of the information management system. The knowledge and information strategy has been developed and it's due for review and approval in the internal policy committee, and the guidelines have been reviewed, and the supporting draft file plan is finalized and approved by the National Archives. The file plan is, you know, your plan, your filing system, which it needs approval from by the National Archives. The challenge in that respect is with respect to the integration with previous plans, in particular the export-import system. The other strategic objective is strengthening policy planning, M&E, and reporting. This is what I was talking about. The indicator that relates to that is approved monitoring and evaluation reporting guidelines. We aim to develop with the departments in provinces and M&E reporting guidelines, and review our own M&E guidelines. This is so that there is alignment between what the provinces plan and what we as the national department do. We have reviewed the M&E as the actual performance and reporting guidelines, and they've been approved on the 29th of September. The other indicator is the alignment with the medium-term strategic framework. The target by the end of the year is to align national and provincial plans with the presidential outcomes and targets. The plan has been developed with provinces and is being used for reporting on outcome 7 in particular, which I said is the most important outcome that affects the department. Still on policy planning, there is another indicator there. The next indicator is a is comprehensive economic report for the sector. The target for this financial year is reporting on economic indicators and trends for the sector. We have already done two quarterly economic reports and have been published. Those reports give analysis of agriculture from a global perspective to a more focused domestic environment. And the next indicator is the review of existing policies in this area. And what is happening currently is that there is a project, the big project that is run or coordinated or managed by our legal services unit, which aims to look at all legislation and policies that are the responsibility of the minister. And to do the research in that respect, we have procured the services of the University of Pretoria. Please ignore the last sentence there. I don't know how we've got ill there, but please just ignore that sentence starting with instead. Yeah, right. So the other indicator in this era is targeted research and development program to develop and ensure that there is such a program. We have concluded service level agreements and awaiting signature and finalization by both the department and the service provider, which in this case is the ARC, who are going to help us in this instance. There is another indicator which relates to comprehensive statistical database for the sector. The target is to have a national statistical information and reports, and the actual performance there is that these reports are published quarterly that relate to crops and markets and so on and so on. Relating to the strategic objective of increasing equity, ownership, and participation for the previously disadvantaged individuals, the aim there, or the indicator, is the number of smallholder and subsistence producers accessing financial services. And the target, one of the targets is 5,000 smallholder producers supported through MAFISA. Through MAFISA, we are at the halfway mark. We are at 2,580 smallholder farmers that have been assisted. The other target that relates to that relates to CASP, where the target is 15,000 smallholder producers supported through CASP. And at this point, we are at 5,900. It's close to 6,000, just below the halfway mark. And I think there needs to be some acceleration in that respect in order to ensure that we meet that 15,000 target. Relating to the Lima, the target is 30,000 subsistence producers supported. And there it says 109,000. I would need to verify that whether that's in fact that means that we've exceeded the target, but it is possible. There is the next indicator which relates to service delivery, you know, contribution towards excellence and battery and so on. The indicator there is compliance to legislation, prescripts, procedures, and guidelines. You know, more of a governance kind of issue to say that you comply with the PFMA, the Public Service Act, and all other such legislation and regulatory framework. This relates to the work of the Auditor General and the work of this committee to say that the target for us is that we need to achieve an unqualified audit report on financial statements, but you know, it needs to go further than that, taking into account the comments of the Auditor General to say that it's not just about unqualified audit report. The biggest thing, or the more critical thing, is that performance needs to match your performance, that your financial performance. But with respect to the 2011-12 Auditor General report, the one that we were discussing a few weeks ago, what we've done is we've developed an audit matrix which addresses and lists all the areas that the Auditor General has indicated that needs attention, and then a plan in that, you know, that audit matrix is a plan on how to address those errors that were identified by the Auditor General. Most of those issues relate to governance, you know, our internal audit function, your risk management, and so on and so on, and monitoring and control structures within the department. Say that, are you able to control and monitor performance as you move forward? The next or the relevant strategic objective, again, that I would like to talk about is strengthening governance, which also is related to the first one. And one aspect of this is to enhance stakeholder participation with national departments and other two spheres of government. It's part of the discussion that we had last week. We need to develop a format for engaging stakeholders and identify areas of engagement. That's our target. There is a document that has been developed in the department, which assigns particular SMS members, senior managers, to particular commodity groups. And it's been tabled at DEXCO, and I don't think there's a problem with that one. It's going to go through the process. And still on enhancing stakeholder participation, this one relates to our engagement at intergovernmental level, our engagement with provinces, with local government. The actual performance there is that there are terms of reference which would guide the development of the strategy relating to that area. This one relates again to improving service delivery, and it's still about the implementation of the deployment framework to commodity groups. Our target is efficiency there and service delivery. We have had a number of meetings to introduce managers to commodity groups that they are deployed to, for example, the Milk South Africa, Cotton South Africa, NERPO, the South African Wine Industry Trust, and South African Ostrich Business Chamber, as well as others. Again, on service improvement, they are relating to fisheries. In our attempt to bring the service closer to the people or the affected communities, there are two decentralized offices that are operational in PE, Saldanha Bay. There are seven pilot offices are planned to extend this project. The areas will include Port Norlock, Hermanus, Steel Bay, Mossel Bay, East London, Umtata, and Port St. John area, Devon and Richards Bay. This one relates to improving communication and information, and the indicator there is an aligned departmental communication strategy. The target is to refine and oversee the implementation of that strategy. The actual performance there is that the strategy has been conceptualized, been developed, and is in the process of being implemented. I know that your copy has an additional sentence, which when I did the quality control, I would ask you to ignore the last sentence. It's about a budget book speech. I don't know how it got there. And then the next indicator relating to this area is ensuring that legislation is aligned to the constitution, and the target for this financial year is to ensure that we initiate the project to review legislation and submit proposals for ministerial approval. This relates again to the legislative review that was talking about. All the legislation that resides under the minister is under review by the service provider that I talked about. We are now moving into program two, which is agricultural production, health and food safety. That's the program or the branch that was here last week dealing with issues relating to the Red Meat Industry Forum, and I think you know all the senior managers in that branch. The chief directorate that constitutes this branch is plant production and health, it's animal production and health, and inspection and laboratory services. You find that when you look at directorates themselves, in other words, a level lower than that, there's a directorate for plant production, there's a directorate for plant health, a directorate for animal production, there's a directorate for animal health. I think you know Dr. Maja, who's responsible for animal health. And looking at the performance itself, this the first strategic objective that links to this branch is the promotion of efficient production, the handling and processing of food, fiber and timber. The indicator for this financial year is the number of new producers participating in animal production schemes. Well, again, here, yeah, these are the things that we identified in our quarterly review meeting. You know, how do you formulate a target and how do you, you know, link the target to the indicator? You see that, again, that problem persists here. It says the target is 1,300 producers. I think that the way we formulate that needs improvement. The actual, you see again here that it means that there is a long way to go towards achieving the target. It says 38 farmers participated in the milk recording scheme in 15 projects, and it says 45 emerging poultry farmers were taken to the AV Africa conference. Again, here, does that report link to the actual target and indicator? They are that's an area of improvement that we identified in our review meeting, and it says that 200 farmers participated in the Gauma Fatoya Dihomo scheme. Okay. The other indicator is the number of beneficiaries benefiting from commodity strategies. The target is 200 beneficiaries benefiting from the peak commodity strategy, and the actual performance is that the peak commodity strategy is in the process of being completed. 20 farmers were assisted with production in that area, and as well as methods related to those. The next strategic objective is still around efficiency in production. The indicator there is a regulatory framework, regulatory framework approved by Parliament. The target is approving compulsory community service framework, which I think has gone through Parliament. The actual performance for these two quarters is that the veterinary and para-veterinary professions amendment bill has been approved by Parliament for tabling at the NCOP, and I think at this stage it has gone to the NCOP and it has passed that stage. Is it perfect? The next one, the next strategic, or still the same one about efficiency in production, is the number of primary health care awareness campaigns. The target is 4. The actual report there says some purchases of necessary equipment were done towards the end of the previous financial year. The modification of clinics to prepare for the service are being considered. discussions with the financial officers have commenced. Again, you see here that the target is 4, but we are still at the preparatory stage. You see, then that is, to me, it's a red light flashing there. And the next one is the number of reports on early detections and reaction time to outbreaks of animal diseases. The target is 6, and the actual performance is that the reports, 6 reports have been submitted to the OIE in May 2012. Okay. And again, here, just to give you a sense of the things that we're discussing in our review meeting. For example, this report on the performance tells me that maybe we under-targeted or something like that. If we achieve the target by May 2012, and something like that. I don't know. Maybe this target is for the 2 quarters. Maybe. Right, and the next indicator is the number of production support and health interventions. The target is 4, and the actual performance is that technical support was provided to provinces, farmers, and extension officers participating in those schemes, CAST Zero Hunger, Natural Resources Management, and provincial initiatives. And the next target is the number of plant-related community strategies implemented. One key commodity strategy implemented is the actual performance is the development of the national strategy on vegetables that's progressing well. Doesn't really tell us where we are. The next indicator is sanitary and phytosanitary strategy developed. The target is plant health policy and plant protection bill. There is regarding the plant health policy, the draft plant health policy, which was approved by the minister in April and published in the Government Gazette for public comments. The gazetted policy has been circulated to stakeholders for comment. Relating to the Plant Protection Bill, the submission regarding the Draft Plant Health Bill for public comments has been initiated and completed. The next indicator relating to the strategic objective of ensuring protection of indigenous genetic resources. The indicator there is the number of monitoring reports of genetic resources for food and agriculture. The target is 2. The actual is surveillance of characterization of farm animal genetic resources have been undertaken in the Free State and Northwest for plant genetic resources, including maize, bambara, groundnuts, and dry beans. Those have been continued at the ARC and the National Plant Genetic Resources Center. The next indicator relating to the early warning system, the indicator is the number of reports on early detections and the reaction time to outbreaks. The target is 2. Surveillance data is collected on a weekly basis in order to that data will then inform the compilation of those reports. Still in program 2, managing the level of risk associated with food diseases, pests, natural disasters, and trade. The indicator is the number of reports on regulatory compliance and M&E interventions. The target is 4. And quarterly report 1 on regulatory compliance and monitoring interventions has been compiled. See that we're a bit behind there because at the end of the financial year we need 4 reports and only 1 has been done now. And relating to the strategic objective of managing the level of risk that are still the same strategic objectives. Objective. This one indicator is reports on still one, the target relates to the liquor products bill, which has been published in the government gazette for public comment. That takes care of program two. On program three, which is food security and agrarian reform, again, this being a very important function in the department in the sense that it addresses the issue of food security, which is one of the priorities that the current administration has set itself, and it relates directly, or this program talks directly to outcome 7, which relates to food security and agrarian reform. The sub-programs there, the first one is food security, the chief directorate of food security. The next one is sector capacity, and the third one is national extension support services. The first one is the one that's directly involved with food security. The next one relates to capacity building and training and development, and so on and so on. The third one is about providing policies that guide the national extension support services, which those extension officers that are placed or employed by provinces. That this one just relates to the policy framework around that. The first strategic objective is around coordinating government food security initiatives. The indicator is a green paper that's gazetted, and that green paper needs to talk to food security. The actual performance, as we speak, is that food security policy document has not been converted yet, but it's been done and consulted with the cabinet clusters and the foster clusters, and it's awaiting tabling in the interministerial committee on food security. What has happened here is that it went to cabinet, but cabinet said it needs to policy on food security needs to be integrated. You would recall that there's the issue of national food security, which we always say that as a country we're doing well there, but when you get to household food security, there's a problem. And then the instruction was that you need to present to cabinet an integrated policy that talks to both those aspects. And household food security being more related to the work of the Social Development Department, then there was this issue that we need to have an interministerial committee that would deal with this issue and submit to cabinet. I think the cabinet instructed that it needs to be early in the next calendar year that they receive this an integrated policy to deal with this matter. Still on the same strategic objective, the indicator being the Zero Hunger campaign implemented, and the target is the development of business case and the coordination and implementation of Zero Hunger campaign. Here we need to read food security, our initiatives around addressing food security. The actual performance here is that the principles relating to this matter is being implemented, and there is a project which is an intergovernmental project which is called Public-Private Partnerships for Food Security, which is led by our department as well as the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, and this partnership aims to bring the private sector into the issue of addressing food security and nutrition and health. With Rural Development, we have established a team that would meet monthly to ensure that there is progress in this area. The big challenge challenge here is that the alignment for funding to ensure that this happens is a bit of a challenge, but we are addressing these those issues as we speak. And the next one is smallholder producers supported through the smallholder strategy, the target being 15,000, and that there were 3,000 and 4,000 smallholders who have been identified for support through a smallholder producer strategy, respectively for quarter one and quarter two, to give the total of 8,000 supported towards that target of 15,000. Again, there's the issue of funding here, which is a challenge. Then the next indicator is the one that relates to the mechanization policy that needs to be implemented, and the target is that we need to develop a comprehensive mechanization policy and implement the tractor scheme. I think the committee is well aware of the challenges here, and we're trying to address that. There's this issue that tractors get supplied to provinces or given to provinces without an underlying or a policy that would need to guide how that works. But the actual performance is that the policy has been refocused and simplified to support household food security sector scheme, the rollout of that scheme. Those are the numbers there, and I won't go into that. And there is a challenge that relates to that in the sense that there's a lack of a database on mechanization equipment owned by the government. That is all such implements or equipment that's owned by government that is in provinces. We would need to have a database that would indicate what government owns there. Still on program three, and this strategic objective is that one that's about leadership and support relating to research, training, and extension in the sector. The indicator is the coordination of the provision of comprehensive training and extension support, and the target is to evaluate the extension recovery plan. How is it been doing over the years since it was implemented? Towards this, we've procured the service of a service provider to assist us with the work relating to that. And the first report has been presented to stakeholders. The next indicator, but this one relates to the strategic objective of improving social working conditions in the sector. The indicator is provincial vulnerable delivery units established. This talks directly to the issues that we are experiencing in the farming sector in the Western Cape and other areas. You recall that there was the Farm Workers Summit some 2 years ago. The target here is that we need 5 provinces, Free State, Western Cape, and Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and KZN. The target is that we set these delivery units up in those provinces. But there, again, is that our influence and in provinces is limited in a sense. But the actual performance is that Free State, Western Cape, and KZN and Mpumalanga have confirmed that these delivery units have been set up. The challenge, of course, relates to budgetary constraints in setting up these delivery units. The still on extension and training, the indicator is the development of a national extension policy. and the actual performance, the terms of reference have been done there, and the proposal for the development of the policy has been presented to the department and the Ford Foundation. The service provider has been outsourced to start with the policy, but Dr. Mpiza would give more detail relating to that work. The next indicator is producers completing the training programs. We need to, at the end of the financial year, coordinate training programs for 15,000 small producers. Where we are now is that 2,656 beneficiaries were trained during quarter one, and 4,786 were trained during quarter two, the total being 7,443, just below the halfway mark towards achieving 15,000. So that one is on track, I would say. The next indicator, approved agricultural training institutions, green paper. This relates to agricultural colleges and transforming those colleges. The target there is that 7 agricultural colleges needs to be transformed into agricultural training institutes, and the actual performance there is that the training institutes, the business plans have been received from all colleges, and these will be consolidated. The Division of Revenue Act funds have been dispersed to provincial departments, and procurement plans have been developed and consolidated. There are challenges again relating to the destination. The National Treasury funds could not be transferred to the colleges as they have no credible financial management systems in place. Dr. Mkhize will talk to that challenge and explain more about that. And Treasury funds are still not accessible for procurement as they were earmarked to be transferred. Again, this is a challenge where, you know, you need the national department and provincial departments working together, and the national treasury as well, and the issue of funding and so on and so on. Those are the complexities that we find ourselves in, but we need to find ways of dealing with those. Getting into program four, which relates to economic development, trade and marketing. This is one program that was again here some few months ago. I think the topic for that day was the issue relating to tariffs and so on and so on. This one has got 3 sub-programs. The first program deals with international relations and trade. It's got 2 directorates. One directorate deals with international relations, ensuring that there are good relations between our, with countries where we have MOUs and so on. That works links directly with what the Department of International Relations and Cooperation is doing. The other aspect of this chief directorate is about international trade, which links more to the work of the DTI. The second sub-program is cooperatives and rural enterprise development, and then the third one is agro-processing and marketing. So those are the 3 sub-programs that make up this branch. The first strategic objective that directly affects this branch is increasing growth, income, and sustainable job opportunities in the value chain. The first indicator is the establishment of value chain networks ensuring that those value chain networks are institutionalized. And the target relates to fisheries. That value chain for fisheries has been established. The performance here is that aquaculture value chain network has been established in quarter one. There is evidence of minutes and a record of decisions that were taken in the action plan developed. And the next indicator is the development of sector strategies and the implementation thereof. The target is facilitating the implementation of the marketing strategy. There is a draft that has been presented of the and reviewed. A draft of the reviewed strategy document has been concluded. Okay, that's the thing. The next one, the next strategic objective relates to coordinating government food security initiatives. How does this affect, or how is this branch contributing towards that? The indicator is 30% of smallholder producers organized into community associations and cooperatives. The target, there are two targets there, is what the first one is facilitating the implementation of the sector business policy in advancing the commodity groups and the actual performance that 18 cooperatives that are producing poultry were mobilized as poultry commodity structures. The other target is having 108 cooperatives established or facilitating the establishment of 108 cooperatives. At this point, 11 cooperatives have been supported and registered during quarter one. The support was with regard to training and registration. Again, I'd like to indicate the, you know, the challenges that or the problems that we identified when we thoroughly looked at all these things. Why is it that we end up getting negative auditor general reports? You see that the target there is formulated establishing 108 cooperatives, and then government can't establish cooperatives. You can facilitate and provide support, you know. So when the auditor general comes to look at this, he says it would, the auditor general will say, you promised to establish 108 cooperatives, but your report says something else, you know. So those are the challenges that we have identified. The way we formulate these targets and the indicators need attention. The next one is a strategic objective which is important for this branch, increasing growth, income, and sustainable job opportunities in the value chain. The indicator being sector strategies developed and implemented. The target is overseeing the review and implementation of the trade strategy. The actual performance at this point is that there is a draft trade strategy that's ready for tabling at Expo. The next strategic objective that again affects this branch is establishing and strengthening cooperative governance and functional relations with local and international stakeholders. The indicator being cooperation agreements developed and signed with those countries. The target is overseeing the negotiation and signing of inter-Africa and international agreements. The actual performance there is that we've facilitated in joint management committees for Kenya. That aspect of the work has been done for Kenya and Congo Brazzaville. There are challenges there relating to limited human resource capacity. And in the legal services unit of our department, keeping in mind that all these agreements have got to be vetted by our legal services, sent to the Department of Justice, and then sent to the Department of International Relations and Cooperation to ensure that it aligns with our with the country's objectives in the international relations policy area. The last program is that one of forestry and natural resources that we are going to report and on. The sub-programs there is forestry operations, which relates more to our plantations in our regions, in the various regions in the country, and so on and so on. And the next sub-program or the second sub-program is forestry development. regulations. This relates to more to the regulatory framework around that. The third one is the one that relates to natural resources management. This is the one that looks at land, looks at climate change, and so on and so on. The first strategic objective that relates to this branch is ensuring the management and efficient use of natural resources. The indicator for this financial year is forestry adaptation plans developed and implemented. The target that we need to have that plan for forestry, that adaptation plan for forestry done at the end of this financial year. There have been 11 consultation sessions that have taken place, and and then the next indicator or the next target it's still the report on the actual performance. It says that the National Fire Danger Rating System is being piloted in the Western Cape and Mpumalanga alongside the low felt system. The aim is to disseminate fire danger ratings weekly to stakeholders. More about the warning system for fire hazards there. And the next one, let me just get this one relates, the strategic objective relates to increasing the level of public and private investment for agricultural, forestry, and fisheries products. The indicator is forestry protocols and strategies implemented. The target is to implement the charter undertakings, the charter that relates to forestry. The actual performance is scoping reports for the environmental impact assessment study in the Eastern Cape has been submitted to the authorizing institution, which is the Department of Environmental Affairs. There is the draft final report on transport infrastructure requirements. That draft report has been produced. The next target, or the next, or continuing with the actual performance, sorry, is terms of reference have been developed for re-advertising the tender that would deal with these issues. And there's a second draft as well on the state forest plantation growth strategy that's been developed based on workshop outputs and circulated for final comment. And the other aspect of the report relating to the charter undertakings is that the transfer agreement for the Mbazwana plantation in KZN is in place and are awaiting approval. The captured memo for recommissioning of the low-felt plantations has been approved by Minister, and is going into the cabinet system for first being the presentation in the economic cluster of ministers. And the next strategic objective is around coordinating government security. It also affects this branch, and it's about supporting small producers, the target being 1,000, the actual performance at this stage being 666 small producers supported with technical training. The next indicator there is the number of land care jobs created. And the target there is 130 full-time equivalents, that's the target, and the actual is 3,294 work opportunities created through the land care program as at the end of September 2012, mm-hmm. and that translates to 14 full-time equivalents. And we have also raised it in our planning meeting that we need to be consistent with our unit of measure in this case, because now sometimes we use full-time equivalent, we use work opportunities, you know, what is it actually? And I understand that the full-time equivalent is a concept that is that comes from the extended public works program that is mainly sponsored by the Department of Public Works. But again, there's an issue that we need to attend to, or, you know, relating to the unit of measure. What does it say? If you say full-time equivalent, what do you mean by that? And then you see that when you go into the next indicator, now we talk about job opportunities. It's a bit confusing, and we have discussed these things internally to say that the unit of measurement needs to be consistent, but we are going to deal with that and see if find ways of, you know, addressing that one. The it's still the same strategic objectives, but the indicator here is the number of state land jobs created, and the target is 60 job opportunities. We're at 53 employees who verified on Fala farms. Again, what does that actually mean? You know, how does the actual performance, you know, talk to the target? You know, again, a challenge there. And then the next strategic objective is ensuring sustainable management and efficient use of natural resources. This particular one relates to climate change adaptation and mitigation plans, the implementation thereof, and the plans for climate change adaptation and mitigation. The target is to have those approved. We have currently a service level agreement that has been signed with amendments from the service provider that would assist us doing this work. Going to the next one, and this is about increasing the level of public and private investment for products. The indicator is disaster risk management strategy, mitigation strategies implemented. The target is to have those the disaster risk management strategy implemented. The actual performance that report on seminars on weather and climate to the agricultural sector has been conducted in the Free State province and has been presented to the NAC. I assume that's the assessment committee, National Assessment Committee, but Mr. Peta would, you know, explain that acronym there. And the other one is about risk management, that committee. But I think in the actual report, there's a list of all these acronyms where they are explained. And that was subsequently approved. The next strategic objective that affects this branch is about ensuring sustainable management and efficient use of natural resources. The indicator is the number of these performance cycles, the number of agricultural land, woodlands, and indigenous forests that have been rehabilitated. The target is 10,000 hectares, and the actual performance, yes, is hectares of land rehabilitated through CARA and land care for quarter one and quarter two. The total there is 62,000 hectares. It would appear that, again, there's an issue of maybe, I don't know, in my view, maybe under targeting or something like that. And the next one is the indicator is 1,250 hectares of irrigation schemes revitalized, and at this point says the target is 250 hectares of smallholder government irrigation schemes that have been revitalized. Okay, and the actual performance here is to the budget for about 62 hectares in the Makatini irrigation scheme, been finalized by the KZN Department of Agriculture and Rural Development. Work will start soon. Again, here you have the issue of things that you are not in control of, totally in control of being in your plan. So those are the things that we need to look at. The fisher fisheries program, you know that fisheries program, there's also this separate vote for that, but anyway, let's report on it. The first sub-program is aquaculture and economic development. The second one is fisheries research and development. The third one is marine resources management. The fourth one that deals with the vessels and patrolling and so on is the monitoring, control, and surveillance sub-program. The strategic objective that affects this one is the one that deals with coordinating government food security initiatives. And the first indicator there is the number of fish farms that are established, the progress that we need to establish. Five, there's progress that has been made in facilitating the development and revitalization of five farms. And in Northwest and so on in the Eastern Cape, in the Harib district and of the Free State. The second one is coordinating the strategic objective relates to the same one about food security, and the indicator is the number of expanded public works program jobs that are created. The target is 1,000. At this stage, we are at 920 have been created through the implementation of catch data monitors, harbor maintenance, and anti-poaching, and so on and so on. Again, you know, one could argue that maybe the target is a bit low to say that at this point, at the halfway point, we're almost close to the target, but it may also indicate good and excellent performance. It depends on how you interpret it. And the next one is about economic growth and job creation. The indicator there is the number of fishing harbors established, and the target is 2. Again, here I would say, you know, does the department establish fishing harbors? I don't know. And then the actual is 1 harbor identified in Port Nolloth. There is negotiations with the municipality and the province. Those negotiations are underway. The next one is about ensuring sustainable management and efficient use of natural resources. The fishing branch also is involved in contributing towards that strategic objective. The indicator is feasibility reports on new fisheries. The target is the investigation of feasibility of two potential new fisheries, and the data has been collected in the following sectors: octopus, wax, live bait, red bait, and KZN red eye. All right. The next in the indicator is the aquaculture research and capacity development program implemented. The target is that we need by the end of the year to have finalized MOUs with two universities in the country. The actual performance there is that the department has approved that the department enters into MOUs with the University of Limpopo and the University of the Free State. The MOUs have been signed with Limpopo. The department is still awaiting a response from the University of the Free State. And still around ensuring efficient use of natural resources, the indicator thereof is the extent of the recovery in terms of spawning of biomass of abalone, hake, West Coast rock lobster, and lionfish from current levels. The indication is that there is the target is the implementation of the recovery strategy and management recommendations towards targets set for abalone, hake, West Coast rock lobster, and lionfish. The actual performance there is the targets as per the total allowable cash and the total allowable effort recommendations for the current session have been set, and the targets are set as per recommendation, as per recommendations for the new season have been scheduled for finalization in the third quarter. The next indicator is commercial fishing rights allocated to 17 fishing sectors. The target is a revised general fishing policy and 8 sector-specific policies and established rights allocation process. The actual is that the bid closed in September, the service providers to be appointed, and the challenge there is the usual lack of internal capacity, which needs to be attended to, the lengthy and cumbersome administrative processes, and the limited marine resources. The next one, contributing towards food security, the indicator is the implementation and review of the integrated fisheries security strategy through inspection of fishing vessels at sea, landings, and random review of rights holders in the 5 key fisheries sectors. There are 2 targets. One is the inspection of 600 vessels at sea. The total is that 593 vessels were inspected at sea. Here we again discussed this and debated it. Is it the number of vessels that should be your target, or is it the actual inspections? You know, so this is still under. Still, there's a debate about what needs to be your target there. Because now again, if you have a target of 605 by the end of the second quarter, have already done 593, indicates to me that there's something wrong there. And the next target is, again, you see here, is the inspection of 800 vessels at landings. Is it the vessels that you need to set as your target, you know, the inspection of vessels, or is it something else? And you can see that the actual performance, again, here is above what the actual target was. It says that 938 fishing vessels have been inspected at landing sites. The next one, again contributing towards the food security strategic objective is the implementation and review of the haven't we done this? Okay, still the same indicator, but another target, a review of permits and rights holders, compliance with policies and prescripts. And we have a target of 276 of the total 2,304 right holders. And at this stage, there's a total of 74 permits and rights holders have been reviewed for compliance with policies and prescripts. Okay. And the fisheries program, I'm not sure, Chair, whether it needs to be debated separately, as it is a separate vote, but we have included it here as part of the report. But I would suppose that at a certain or at a particular time, we would just need to dedicate time just for the fisheries performance report. And that was my understanding. But for the sake of completeness of the report, we included it here. And the next part is that which relates to expenditure. Mr. Fenter, thank you, Chair.
Thank you, DG. Good morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members. On the budget for quarter one, we'll first will deal with it in terms of the programs and then the economic classifications for quarter one, then we will deal quarter two in the same, and then we will deal with the combined quarter one and quarter two, and then we can measure the spending against the benchmark at quarter two of 50%. Now, for Program 1 administration, the budget was $609 million, and the spending for quarter 1 was $166 million, that is 27.3%. Here is a slide on the reasons for over and under spending. Then on Program 2, it is agricultural production, health and food safety. The budget is $1.8 billion, of which in quarter 1, $507 million was spent, that is 26.8%. Then when we look at Program 3, that is your food security and agrarian reform, the budget is $1.4 billion, of which $287 million was spent, that's 20% for that quarter. Trade promotion and market access, there we have the budget. The budget is 1.4, there's some error here. But the expenditure for that particular year, it was quarter was 20.4%. We are now trade promotion market access. Yeah, the spending was at 39.2%. On forestry, the budget is $1.2 billion, of which $241 million was spent for quarter one at 19.1%. And the fisheries, it's a program on the budget, as you know, that includes the transfer payment to the MLRF. There the budget is $411 million. Of which 85 was spent, that's 20.8%. So that gives you a total for quarter one of 23.7% spent against the benchmark for the quarter of 25%. If we look at the expenditure for quarter one in terms of the economic classifications, then we look at, first of all, your compensation of employees. There the budget is 1.4 for the quarter billion, and 325 million was spent. That is 21.7%. This you can see links to the comments that Mr. Ntombela was making in terms of a vacancy rate of 13%. That leads to the spending level of 21.7%. On goods and services, for quarter one, 741 million, a spending of 157 million. That is 21.3%. In terms of experience, we know that traditionally quarter one is a low spending quarter, but it picks up in quarter two and quarter three. In your classification, interest and rent on land, 37% was spent there. On your transfers and subsidies, this is where we have our payments in terms of the Division of Revenue Act, DORA, for our conditional grants, and also the public entities. Budget, $3.4 billion. As you know, in terms of our total budget, it is in the order of 55-56% of the total budget. Quarter one is $865 million, so it's 25.3%. Then for the economic classification payment for capital assets, the spending was on 15.5%. Again, it's a slow start in terms of the spending. Total spending for the quarter then, 23.7%. The reasons in Program 1, there was an overflow of spending for the previous financial year, 2011-12, carryover expenditure that was not concluded in the 2011-12 financial year, that was for ICT, and then also the claims that we received for property management from the Department of Public Works. In Program 2, we had the arrangement with the Agricultural Research Council to address their cash flow problems. That the very first quarter, we make double payments. So the double payments were made in the month of April. So for the ARC, the double payments were made, and then also the conditional grant payments were made for quarter one. The conditional grant payments are made against the payment schedule of the Division of Revenue Act, and for this quarter it was at 20% of the appropriated amount. In Program 3, we have got another conditional grant, that's CASP, the major conditional grant of the department, where also the payments were made at 20%. Program 4, there we have a situation of two public entities that has been accommodated in this program, and it's once-off payments. On the Land and Agricultural Bank of South Africa, we made a payment for the Agri-B program of the department. That's once off, and also for the National Agricultural Marketing Council, another public entity where the payments was also once off. Then if we look at program 5, there is the land care, the other conditional grant. Here we have the situation that we could not affect payment in quarter 1 because of, in terms of DORA prescripts, the compliance certificate of the National Transferring Officer was not completed because of the necessary business plans, so to speak, to be submitted by the relevant provinces for the conditional grant was not submitted in time. Then in Program 6, there is the payments to the Marine Living Resources Fund. Here the payment for the Expanded Public Works Program, the EPWP, could also not be affected because of the Treasury had a view that these payments can only be affected on the submission of compliance certificates. So we took the matter up with the Public Works Department as well as National Treasury, and then it transpired at the end that the Treasury's view is not correct. The one of the compliance certificates only relate to the EPWP incentives. So we go to quarter 2 spending, program 1 again, administration. The spending for this quarter was at 22.4%. On program 2, the agricultural production, health and food safety, the spending was on 27.5%. Program 3, your food security and agrarian reform, it was on 27.8%. We will come to the reasons. And in trade promotion and market access, it was on 18.1%. Forestry program had a spending rate of 31.8%. And fisheries on 22.8%. So the total for the department for quarter 2 was then 27.2%. Now, we look at the economic classifications for this quarter. Compensation of employees picked up a bit. It was on 26.3% for this quarter. Your goods and services was still a bit low on 19%. Your interest and rent on land, 11.6%. The transfers to the public entities and your conditional grants was 29.5%. Capital assets picked up, it's on 23%. So the total for the quarter for the department was at 27.2%. Let's quickly look at the reasons for the over and under spending against the 25% target for quarter 2. There was again the process of the claims to be submitted for the property management. This is the leases of private accommodation, office accommodation that we leased, that went through public works, and that was again awaited. It was slow in submitting to us. Then in program 2, it is again the payment to the ARC and the conditional grants and the Lima Letsima. In your projections here, it has an effect that it shows an overspending. On program 3, we have got your payments to the, in terms of CASP, it was the same situation. Then on program 4, the claims in respect of the foreign officers from Durka are awaited. Again, honorable members, we sit with a situation that for our foreign officers, our agricultural attachés, when they are attached to the embassies, the payments for in terms of operations at the embassies is slow. That the claims that is coming from Durko, it comes through at a slow pace. We also sit with a situation where we have got regular meetings with them, where we monitor the spending, but it is not on a satisfactory level at the moment. Then program 5, that was your forestry, where it was on 31%. There was payments for CASP. And then the land care. Remember, as I said in quarter 1, we would not be able to affect the payments for land care. So the land care payments in terms of that conditional grant was made in program, made in this quarter. So that's why the spending was on a higher level for program 5. On program 6, when we sorted out the technical problem with Treasury in terms of the payments for the public works program, the working for fisheries program, these payments were then also affected in this quarter. If we then look at the comparison, quarter 1 and quarter 2, for the programs, then we will look at the total budget of 626 for the program administration at the half year mark, that's in the quarter one and quarter two, was on 306 million, reflecting a spending level of 48.9%. Our benchmark is now 50%. On agricultural production, health and food safety program, program two, the total budget of 1.8 billion, the spending was on 54.3%. And remember, yes, mainly due to the payments in terms of the conditional grant, payment schedule for the conditional grants. This is in Lima, Letsima. Then the same goes for food security and agrarian reform, where the spending level was on 48.2%. Program 5, where we have trade promotion and market access, the budget of 209 million. The spending for the half-year mark was 121 million, that is 57.8. This is because of the once-off payments for the NAMC and the land bank for agribusiness. Forestry, 1.2 is the budget, and then the spending was at 636 million, reflecting a spending level of 51.2%. And this is because of the payments for the conditional grants for land care and also the flood damaged infrastructure payments that goes to the provinces is also being accommodated in this program. Then when we look at fisheries program, 489 budget and the spending on 197, that is at 40.3%, but the reason is because of the transfers of the EPWP. Which we then had to, we're sorting out with Treasury. But I can mention that your compensation of employees spending account for fisheries is on 53%. Then if we look at the economic classifications, compensation of employees, again here you see that we have for the quarter, a spending of 713 million against a budget of 1.4 billion for the department. This is the 7,000 plus employees of the department, where our spending level was on 48.4%. Now, I can also mention here, this is the half-year mark, so in the adjustments estimate budget that was now submitted to National Treasury. National Treasury, remember the department had to submit monthly spending reports to the Minister and National Treasury. And in terms of our low spending because of the 13% vacancy rate, the current compensation of employees budget, now an adjustments estimate, was cut with 53 million. Goods and services, the budget 758 million, and the spending for the midterm was 302 million, that's 39.8%. Interest and rent on land, that's on 46.7%. Your transfers, this is now the DORA and the public entities. Total budget 3.4 billion, spending 1.895 million, that's 54.3%. And then the capital assets, 145 million is the budget, and the spending is 55 million, that's 58%. Here we are again in the hands of Public Works in terms of our capital works projects, and we are in monthly meetings with Public Works to monitor the spending and to try to pick up on the spending. Financial assets, is another economic classifications to be reported on. There we have 980. This is something that you do not budget for in terms of your budget rules. So the total budget of the department, 5.8 billion. Quarter one and two spending, 2.967 million. That reflects a spending level of 50.6%. Now, honourable members, when you compare this to the 11-12 spending level, the midterm spending level of 11-12, at that time we were on 42.7%. This financial year we were on midterm already on 50.6%. I thank you. Over to you, DG.
Well, thanks, Mr. Francis, for that. In our concluding remarks, the issues that we think we need to do as a matter of agency is to strengthen interdepartmental cooperation and collaboration for the development of the production infrastructure and other support policies and programs. We need to pay more attention to what that is related to the presidential infrastructure coordinating projects that were announced by the president, and we've since started working closely with the Department of Rural Development in this area. And we also need to enhance cooperation with the provinces and local government to enhance governance in the sector. And I think, you know, in some way I did indicate these challenges as I made the presentation. We also need to accelerate collaboration with stakeholders through existing forums. And I think the debate we had, discussion we had last week indicated that there needs to be focused attention in this area to ensure that there's collaboration, better collaboration with our stakeholders, commodity groups, farm unions, and so on and so on. Then the last one is collaboration in the utilization of key policy instruments to enhance the performance of the sector. In other words, saying that it's not only about our performance as the department, but we need to look broader into performance of the sector, which we are charged with ensuring that the sector is inclusive, the sector is transformed, and that the sector, you know, produces the food that the country requires, and that we contribute towards ensuring, you know, enhancement and, you know, relating to natural resources management and so on, that we manage the country's natural resources in such a way that it benefits the country. So that concludes our presentation, Chair. As I indicated earlier, it's not a perfect report. We are working towards making it better as per the advice of the committee, particularly when we discuss the last financial year's annual report, to say that as we move towards concluding this financial year, we want at the end of the financial year to show to the committee that there is improvement in our control system, in our M&E, and that the reports start to make sense, that they become readable, and that they, you know, the alignment between planning and reporting is there. And also, lastly, the biggest challenge to ensure, if you listened to Mr. Fenter's report here, was that if you look at the financial spending at this point of the financial year, at the halfway point or mid-term of the financial year, we are at 50%, which means that we are at the right spot if you just consider financial spending. But now, can you say the same with respect to performance, to say that we are at 50%? That's the challenge, and that's the main challenge that the Auditor General pointed out when we looked at the last year's audit report, that this performance does not perfectly correlate with financial performance. With financial performance, we seem to be doing well, but with the actual performance, service to our stakeholders there, what we committed ourselves to do, is it also in line with what we see happening with respect to financial performance? I will conclude there, Chair. Thank you.
Thanks, DG. Members, there is tea outside. It is going to get cold. If we cannot just quickly jump out, within 10 minutes we're back. Now it's quarter after 11. We can start at 20 past. 20 past, sorry. If you can start at 25 past. Thank you.
Oh yes, he's still there.
What is he now?